order, questions to the Prime Minister, Martin Vickers.
Number one, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure the whole House will wish to join me in celebrating Armed Forces Week. Yeah. Our armed forces are the best in the world, and this week is an important opportunity to pause and reflect on their dedication and their sacrifice in keeping the country safe. Mr. Speaker, this morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others, and in addition to my duties in this House, I shall have further such meetings later today.
Martin Vickers.
I too welcome the Prime Minister's comments about Armed Forces Weekend, and there is a major event in my constituency to mark the occasion. Mr. Speaker, I thank my right honourable friend for agreeing to meet with me and the Honourable Lady from Great Grimsby following the announcement yesterday of significant job losses by Young Seafoods in the area. Indeed, they are the largest employer. It's particularly disappointing after a run of good news. Much investment has been attracted with the help of the Regional Growth Fund. Could my right honourable friend assure me that perhaps additional help and support may be given to the area through the RGF? It's important to retain Young's presence in the area.
Well, first of all, I'm happy to meet with my honourable friend. And as he says, the recent reports surrounding Young's are concerning. And I know this will be a difficult time for employees and their families. The company will be talking to employees, and the government stands ready to assist in any way that it can. He's right, the broader picture is more positive. We've got the Able UK Marine Energy Park creating up to 4,000 jobs, and also, of course, the Siemens investment nearby, which is a major investment for the region. We'll continue to provide support for the Regional Growth Fund. 49 awards have been made in Yorkshire and the Humber area. We'll keep up with that, and we'll keep up with the long-term economic plan. Yeah. The growth and jobs we need.
I join the Prime Minister in paying tribute to our armed services, including the reserves. We honour those who are serving today, and we remember the sacrifice of those who've served in the past. And let's never forget them when we think of the freedom and democracy that we have today. And I'd also like to pay tribute to the Families Federations, the Army Families Federation, the Navy Families Federation, and the Air Force Families Federation. The great work they do supporting service families contributes so much to the strength of our services. Mr. Speaker, we've all seen the chaotic scenes at Calais, where British travellers and lorry drivers are facing harassment and intimidation as 3,000 migrants try to get illegally into the UK. The French should be assessing them as soon as they get to Calais to decide whether they're genuine refugees or whether they're migrant workers who should be removed. How confident is the Prime Minister that the French are going to start taking effective action? What's he doing to put pressure on them? And will he be raising it at the EU Council this weekend?
Prime Minister.
Well, first of all, can I thank the Right Honourable Lady for what she says about Forces families? She's absolutely right. And this Saturday, when many of us will be attending Armed Forces Day's celebrations and commemorations, it's a moment to talk to those families and thank them for what they do when they're missing their loved ones. She quite rightly asks about Calais. It is a totally unacceptable scenes that we've all been witnessing for the last day. Of course, there was a key role played in this by the strike that took place in France. She asked specifically about what should be done, and let me answer very clearly. Of course, we want to see migrants better documented and fingerprinted, but frankly, a lot of that needs to happen in Italy, where they land, rather than in France. The three things we must act on is, first of all, better security at Calais, working with the French. We've already invested £12 million. I'm happy for us to do more if that is necessary. We've got to work with European partners to stop this problem at source, to break the link between getting in a boat and getting settlement in Europe. And thirdly, we've got to do more to make sure that Britain is a less easy place for illegal migrants to come to and work in, and that's what our immigration bill is all about.
Harriet Harman.
He's right that this problem is the responsibility of the Italian authorities and the French authorities, but as he acknowledged, is also an issue about the security of our border at Calais. Can he say a bit more about what steps he's taken to strengthen security at the UK border in Calais?
Prime Minister.
Well, the Honourable Lady is absolutely right. The juxtaposed border controls on the French side are a good thing for our country, and we should be prepared to invest in them. That's what the £12 million has been about. But in talks with the Home Secretary this morning, we've been looking at whether we can put more personnel and indeed sniffer dog teams on that side of the channel to make a difference. And there's also more work being done in terms of installing fencing, not just around the port at Calais, but also around the Eurostar and Eurotunnel entrance. All these things can make a difference, and we should work with the French very closely. There's no point either side trying to point the finger of blame at each other. This is a strong partnership that we have in place, and we should keep it that way.
Harriet Harman.
I thank the Prime Minister for that answer, and really efforts on all sides will need to be stepped up. Turning to another issue, the Prime Minister said in his speech on Monday, there's nothing progressive about robbing from our children. But isn't it inevitable that cuts in tax credits for working families, unless employers raise their wages immediately, mean children will be worse off?
Yeah. Well, first of all, what I said in my speech about robbing from our children was the importance of getting our deficit down and not asking them to pay debts that we weren't prepared to deal with ourselves. Now, what we need to do is make sure we go on with a plan that's seeing 2.2 million more people in work. And crucially for children, compared with when I became Prime Minister, there are 390,000 fewer children in households where no one works. My programme for tackling poverty is to get more people in work, get them better paid, and cut their taxes.
Harriet Harman.
Well, I'm asking about robbing from children who are in families who are facing tax credit cuts. The IFS have said that cutting £5 billion from tax credits would mean working families losing, on average, £1,400 a year. Now, I know he doesn't have to budget, but many families do. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. No. It's the truth. It's the truth. Think about, if honourable members were just for a moment, think about a lone parent working part-time. To compensate her for that loss of £1,400 a year, the minimum wage would have to go up overnight by 25%. That's not going to happen, is it?
Prime Minister.
The problem with what the Honourable Lady says is the last government didn't budget for the country.
Yeah.
That is when she asks.
Order. I'm very worried about the health of the Honourable Member. For Hornsey and Woodgreen, she must calm herself at a very early stage in the proceedings. A period of calm must descend upon the House. The Prime Minister.
Because the last government didn't budget for the country, as a result, the whole country was plunged into poverty, which is what we've been dealing with. Now, let me explain what we're going to do. For those who are out of work, we want to get them a job and a well-paid job. That's the best route out of poverty. For those in work, we want to see higher rates of pay, lower taxes. Our programme is simple. Let's have an economy with higher pay, lower taxes and lower welfare. What she seems to want is the current failure of low pay, high taxes and high welfare. That's what we need to move on from.
But you see, Mr. Speaker, you don't get higher pay by cutting tax credits. He seems to be saying that low-income families won't lose out because somehow on the day that he cuts tax credits, every employer in the country will rush to immediately put up pay. To compensate for the loss of tax credits, that would mean employers putting up pay overnight by twice what the OBR has said they're going to do over a full year. That's not going to happen, is it?
We are seeing rates of pay in our economy go up because we've got a strong and successful economy because of the decisions that we took. But what the Honourable Lady doesn't seem to understand is if you don't get people back to work and reduce welfare, you're going to have to make deep cuts in the NHS, which we don't want to see, or you're going to have to put up taxes, which we don't want to see. Now, look, If the Labour Party wants to spend this 5 years arguing against any change in the welfare system, I say let them. You'll end up with the same result.
What he doesn't seem to understand is that these are people who are in work, who are going out to work, providing for themselves and their children. The truth is, the Prime Minister is going to cut tax credits. He's not going to make up for that loss by putting up the minimum wage overnight. Employers are not going to make up for that loss either. So millions of families with children are going to be worse off. He says he's tackling low pay. He's not. He's attacking the low paid. So much for the party of working people.
The party of working people is the party that's got 2 million more people into work. That's got almost 400,000 children in households where people are working. That is why you can see a party that believes in work against a party which, according to one of the leadership contenders, is now the anti-worker party. That is what the Honourable Member for Pontefract and Castleford said. But I would say to the Honourable Lady, in the week when Greece teeters on the brink, we should learn the lessons of what happens when debt spiral and you lose control of your economy. Labour is stuck with the same answer: more borrowing, more welfare, more debt. It's the same old Labour, and it'll lead to the same old failure.
Speaker, thank you. Would the Prime Minister agree that one of the best ways of tackling the cycle of child poverty is in fact to ensure that we deal with persistent educational underachievement, to ensure that children get the best start in life, particularly in schools, universities, and just as importantly in vocational education?
My honourable friend is actually right. If we really want to tackle the deep and entrenched poverty we have in our country, we need to go after the causes of poverty. The causes of poverty are sink schools, high unemployment, debt, addiction and family breakdown. Those are the things that can make a difference. I was at a school this week on the outskirts of Runcorn with 65% free school meals, and yet that school was able to achieve almost two-thirds, five good A to Cs at GCSE. Now, that's a better record, frankly, than many schools in leafy, well-off constituencies, so it can be done. So let's go after the causes of poverty, and then we can really lift people out of that entrenched poverty.
Angus Robertson!
And will be attending Armed Force Day events across the UK. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister and other UK party leaders made a promise. They made a vow that more powers will be delivered to the Scottish Parliament. The people were promised home rule. They were promised, and I quote, as close to federalism as possible. Why does the Prime Minister's Scotland Bill not even deliver the limited Smith Commission proposals?
First of all, the bill that we've put in front of this House does deliver the Smith Commission. It fulfils the vow that all of us kept. But of course, what it doesn't fulfil is the full fiscal autonomy that his party would like, that would land Scottish taxpayers with a bill of thousands and thousands of pounds. If that's his policy, when he gets up, he should say so.
Mr. Angus Robertson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The House of Commons Library says that important parts of the Smith Commission proposals are not in the Smith, are not in the Scotland Bill that the Prime Minister has proposed. The shortcomings in the bill have been identified by an all-party committee in the Scottish Parliament on which the Scottish Conservative Party sits. Are all of these people wrong? Will the Prime Minister now commit to deliver the Smith Commission proposals in full and all of the powers that were voted for by the people of Scotland in the general election?
We addressed precisely the points made by the committee in the Scottish Parliament that he refers to. But, Mr. Speaker, this goes to a larger truth. which is the Scottish National Party, only want to talk about process. They don't actually dare talk about which powers that they're being given they'd like to use. If you don't like the way things are fixed, why don't you put up taxes and spend more money? Isn't it time you started talking about the policies you want to put in place, the outcomes? Because the truth is this, full fiscal autonomy has now become FFS, full fiscal shambles.
Andrea Jenkins.
Would the Prime Minister investigate why some Labour-controlled councils, including Leeds, are ramping up their charges to schools wishing to become academies? A good example of this is Woodkirk Academy in Morley and Outwood.
Well, I'm delighted that Woodkirk Academy and its feeder primary schools have applied to set up a multi-academy trust. It often really works if you have secondary schools working with primary schools to improve the results in those primary schools. I am also convinced, when you look at the figures, that converter academies are performing better than the local authority main schools. That's why the change is so necessary. So I would say to the Labour Party, don't stand in the way of this change. Help bring these academies about.
Jonathan Edwards.
Sunday Times reported over the weekend that the Department for Transport is planning to scale back an axe rail electrification projects. Can the Prime Minister inform the House and the people of Wales whether it continues to be the policy of his government to complete the electrification of the Great Western Line to Swansea by 2018 and Parfyn, the Valley Lines?
Great question.
Yeah. I can tell him we're absolutely committed to electrifying the Great Western Main Line to Cardiff through to Swansea. We're also contributing £125 million to the cost of the wider Valley Lines electrification. It's vital that this work goes ahead. We do need to make sure that Network Rail gets its costs under control and has strong leadership in place, and we'll make sure those things happen.
In Holinrake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unemployment is down 61% in Thurscombe Morton since 2000. A strong endorsement of this government's policy to make work pay, and also to the hard work and investment of business people in my constituency. What further support will the Prime Minister offer to help with much needed investment in the A64, superfast broadband and mobile phone coverage, all of which would further help job creation in my area?
Yeah. First of all, let me welcome my honourable friend to this place and the work I know he'll do on behalf of his constituents. And he's absolutely right. In rural areas like the one that he represents, better transport, better broadband and filling in the not spots on the mobile phone network are absolutely vital. The mobile infrastructure project is providing more homes and businesses with mobile coverage, but we do need to make sure we build the masts that go ahead. I'm pleased to say that the A64 is part of our £3 billion investment in roads in the North East and Yorkshire. And as for broadband, I think we've got 130,000 homes and businesses getting access in North Yorkshire, but there's more to be done.
Theresa Pearce.
A drug prescribed for epilepsy. Although GPs are now more aware of the risks, the National Archives show the risks were well known by drug companies and government as far back as 1973, yet mothers were kept in the dark. Will the Prime Minister urge his Health Secretary to meet with me and the delegation of mothers who are affected by this issue to discuss their case?
Prime Minister.
Well, first of all, can I thank the Honourable Lady for raising this case? I'm not aware of the specific drug that she mentions, but I'll look at it very closely as someone who had a son who had very severe epilepsy and know how little we really know about many of these drugs. I'll certainly fix the meeting between her and the Health Secretary so they can make progress on this issue.
Mr. William Ragg.
Does my right honourable friend agree that a northern powerhouse requires proper transport infrastructure? Can the Prime Minister update me on my campaign to get the A6 Hazelgrove bypass to reduce congestion and increase growth in my constituency?
My honourable friend is absolutely right, which is why we're increasing transport levels in the northwest. We're investing £4.3 billion on the strategic road network. The A6 to Manchester Airport relief road, as he knows, is going ahead. And I'm pleased to confirm that we provided Greater Manchester Combined Authority with £350,000 to fund a feasibility study for the next stage of the bypass route around Stockport and Hazelgrove that my honourable friend refers to. I do understand that if this could go ahead, it would really make a lot of difference in terms of relieving congestion.
Mr. Ben Bradshaw.
With the death of yet another cyclist, again a young woman commuter beneath the wheels of a tipper truck, will the Prime Minister meet with a small delegation from the all-party parliamentary cycling group to discuss what more can be done to protect vulnerable road users, including the call by the acting leader of the Labour Party for a ban on these killer lorries in our towns and cities at peak times?
I'm very happy to have that meeting. It does seem to me that although a lot has been done in London to try to make cycling safer on our roads with the cycling strategy, money is being invested, cycle lanes are being introduced, the number of fatalities...